Well, we are so honored and privileged that you would come out and worship with us here at Word of Life Church this weekend. And yesterday during prayer, Brother Dean was praying. And Brother Dean's one of our pastors here at our church and has been with us for many, many years. Just a precious, precious person. And he was praying and he made mention of the man in the book of Acts who was lame and laying by the roadside at the gate called Beautiful. And the disciples were walking through and the Bible says that he looked up expecting to receive something from them. You know, he had spent his whole life expecting to receive things from people. Because of the condition that he was in, he was expecting to receive support. He was expecting to receive encouragement. He was expecting to receive finances. But Peter and John looked at him and said, "Silver and gold, we don't have much of that. But what we do have, we are going to give you." And on that day, they gave that man something that no one else had given him his entire life. You know what they gave him that day? They gave him Jesus. And when Jesus came into that man's life, he found that Jesus was really the thing that he needed all along. And so with that, at Word of Life Church this weekend, you know, I'd love to say we have a lot we can give you, and we may give you a visitor's gift or something like that. You can expect to receive something from us, I'm sure. But the main thing we want to give you is a personal relationship with Jesus. Because we believe Jesus really is the thing your life needs to be all your life can be. So that's what we offer today. We offer a personal, divine relationship with the most amazing, beautiful, merciful person in all the world. His name is Jesus. He is alive forevermore, and he is available to all those who will call upon his name. Amen. Amen. Would you allow me to pray this morning and join in with me? Let's bow our head, close your eyes. Let's go before our Father in prayer. Father, we come before you today and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, he is alive. That the grave could not contain him. He did rise again from the grave and he's victorious today. And Father, we ask of you, let Jesus be magnified. Let him be glorified in our service today. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, our counselor, our leader, and our guide. I thank you, Father, that while we minister today, that you speak to each individual heart here. Deal with them on the level of life they're at. And Father, we ask of you that each one of us leaves here with a deeper relationship with our Savior Jesus. At the end of this service, Lord, we'll all be careful and we'll be quick to give you all the praise and all the glory, for you and you alone are worthy. And you alone deserve all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to someone. Once again, welcome them to Word of Life Church. Let them know how glad you are to see them. And you can be seated. Well, we are so glad once again to have each and every one of you here with us. I've got a real simple message for you today. It's very practical, but I think at the same time, it's very powerful. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the story of Jacob and Esau. How many of you were here for that? You remember when we looked at that and talked about that the most dangerous thing in your life and mine is any area of our life where our appetite is out of control. And we looked at how Esau sold his birthright for one pot of bean soup, not even chunky soup. I mean, just one pot of bean soup. Sold his birthright. And we talked about how so many people trade what they want most for what they want now. And we said that's never a smart trade to make. But today we're going to look at the other brother in the story. His name is Jacob. And I like Jacob because Jacob is very much like us. He's a very complicated individual. Jacob's story starts actually in his mother's womb. Very, very interesting story. Isaac and Rebekah were Jacob's parents, and they were unable to conceive children for a number of years. And the Bible records that Isaac went to the Lord in prayer about this situation. How many of you know that's always a good idea to do that, to go to the Lord in prayer? And so he besought the Lord and he requested that the Lord would give them a child. And so sure enough, the Lord answers that prayer. He gives Isaac and Rebekah children, and they are so blessed by it. But at this time, they don't realize that there are twins in her womb. She just knows she's pregnant. And so during her pregnancy, she asks the Lord a question I think every pregnant mother asks. She comes to the Lord and she asks, "What in the world is going on the inside of me?" Because she felt a tussle, and the Lord came and spoke to her. And this is what he told her. He said, "There's not just one child in your womb, Rebekah. There are two children, two boys. And the younger one is actually wrestling with the older one. And in most cases, the older one would always be over the younger. But he said, in this case, the younger is going to overtake the older." And he spoke this out to her. And on the day she gave birth to these twins, we see the first one come out, and the Bible records him as being red all over and hairy. All I could think of when I read that was Chewbacca. It's like a Chewbacca baby. He comes out, a Star Wars reference. Anyone? Okay. Maybe just me. But anyway, so with that, he comes out, and as soon as he comes out, his brother, Jacob, they call him, has his hand on Esau's heel. And so because of this, because of what he's done, Jacob is given this name called Jacob. And the name Jacob means heel grabber. It means thief. It means manipulator, deceiver, cheater. This is what they've labeled this boy. Now keep in mind that this is not just Jacob trying to overtake Esau. Even while Jacob was in his mother's womb, the Lord said, this is the will of God. This is Jacob's destiny, is to overtake the elder. This is Jacob's, if you will, to use a spiritual term. This is his calling. And all of us in this life, me and you included, we have a calling. There is something that God sent us here to do, to accomplish. There are plans that he has given us in order for our life to fulfill. And there's something about your calling and mine. It will always do something. Your calling will always call you. It will always beckon you. Years ago, I came to church, and at this time we were only doing, I think, two services, maybe even just one at this time. It was back at our old location. We didn't even have our Saturday night service or anything like that. And I came to church that Sunday morning, and I didn't have a message to preach. Now, how many of you know if you're a pastor in front of a congregation of, at that time, probably 500 or so, it probably would be a good idea to actually show up with a message to preach. And it wasn't because I wasn't trying. I'd studied all week and just hadn't found anything. There was nothing that bore witness with my heart. There was nothing that was jumping out to me. Pulled an all-nighter Saturday night. You know, if you've ever had a test like on Tuesday and you felt like you weren't prepared for it, you know, you could study all night on Monday. So I studied all night on Saturday, was praying, and nothing. So I thought, at the very least, I'll get out there on that Sunday morning and I'll just tell the band to keep going, you know, and we'll just have them keep singing and keep singing and keep singing and just kind of drag it out as long as it can, get up, give a solid word of exhortation, and then just close out the service. And so I was in my office about ready to walk out, and I saw this shell that one of my church members had given me. I think it was from some island. I think it was Barbados. They went and took a vacation there. And on this vacation, they went out on this excursion where you had to go fishing and try to catch things. And whatever you caught, that's what you would eat for dinner. Well, they didn't catch anything that day, and she didn't catch anything that day. But they said, "Don't worry. There are big shells at the ocean here right in this area that we can dive down and pull out the shell with you. And then we'll break the shell open and pull out the meat in the shell, and that'll be your dinner." So they went down, dove, and picked up this great big shell. I wish I had it with me today, but I don't. Pulled out this great big shell, and sure enough, broke it in. There was meat in the shell, and that's what they had for dinner. Well, for a present for me and my wife, when they came back, they came and gave us that shell. And I kept it in my office for a long, long time. And so here it was sitting there, and I don't know why, but I picked it up. And, you know, sometimes with these little seashells, you can cup them up to your ear. And what can you hear when you put the seashell up to your ear? Yeah, you can hear the sound of the ocean. So here I have this big, big shell, and I pick it up, and I put it on my ear, and sure enough, I hear the ocean. And as soon as I hear the ocean, the Lord speaks to my heart and deals with me about what I'm to talk about that morning. I thought, man, this is wonderful, but that would have been great like 48 hours ago. So with this, the Lord deals with me as I pick up this shell and hear the ocean in the shell. And he said, you can take the shell out of the ocean, but you can't take the ocean out of the shell. And even though the shell is out of the ocean, there's something within the shell that always beckons it to come home. And he said, the same thing is true with your calling, with the race God has given you. See, you can walk out of your calling. You can walk away from God. You can walk away from what God's called you to do. You can walk away from the things of God. And I'm sure all of us at one time or another in our life have done that. Maybe you're even doing that right now. But there's something about the call of God. While we can walk away from the call never walks away from us. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. They will never leave you. And there's something on the inside of you that beckons you to be more than you are right now. There's something beckoning you to be maybe a better Christian or a better father or a better mother or a better friend or a better relative. There's something within you that beckons you to be more than you are. And so in Jacob's life, he senses this. Even as a young man, he senses this, that I'm supposed to be more than I am right now. The problem with Jacob is Jacob kept trying to make himself be the person he was supposed to be without God. And see, there's no way to reach your high calling in God without God helping you reach that divine calling. So he works his whole life to try to cheat his way over into the life that he thinks that he wants. To try to manipulate himself over into the life that he thinks that he wants. And it starts with that story where he is just a creepy little younger brother and just deceives his brother. I mean, takes his brother's birthright for a pot of soup. Now, yes, that was a stupid, if you will, excuse my French, move on Esau's part to sell his birthright for a pot of soup. But even more than that, think about Jacob. Here's his younger brother willing to allow his older brother to do this. Jacob is trying to be something that God has called him to be, but the problem is he's trying to do it without God. But Jacob's deception doesn't stop there. If you know the story, it's very, very fascinating to me. Not only does he deceive his brother, but later he also deceives, anyone know? His father. Very fascinating. Isaac is a man of God. He's Abraham's son. He's walked with God for many years. And he's getting ready. He senses in his heart to leave the earth. He knows his time on earth is coming to a close. And so he calls his oldest son, Esau, to him, and he says, son, my eyes are growing dim. I can barely see. My heart is growing faint. I think my time on this earth is coming to an end. Before I leave this earth, I want to bless you. But before I bless you, could you do something for your father? He says, sure. He says, could you make me that meal I really love? I love that. It's like, I'm not just going to give you the blessing. You need to cook for me first. And so with this, Esau says, sure, Daddy, I'll go get the meal. And so he goes to get his bow and his arrow. He's going to go kill a deer, make the venison that his father loves. And then he's going to get the blessing. And in the middle of all this, Rebecca, Isaac's wife, who we see from Scripture, always seemed like she had an affinity for Jacob that she did not have for her oldest son, Esau. And she hears this, and she realizes quickly if her son is ever going to get this blessing, he's got to get it now. But how in the world could he possibly be mistaken for Esau? And she hatches this plan. She calls her son Jacob over to her. And at first when I read this, I felt bad for Jacob because I'm like, you know, he's a teenager, and his mom's kind of deceiving him into stealing this blessing away from his brother. But then when I studied it out, I found that when this story happens, you know how old Jacob is? He's not a teenager. You know how old he is? He's 76 years old. This man is 76 years old. You can't blame your mother anymore at 76. And so here he is at 76, and his mother comes to him, and she says, look, your daddy, he's getting old. He can't see very well. I think we can trick him over into giving you the blessing and not Esau. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out, and I want you to pull in some animals, pull them in here, and I'll make the stew that Esau is going to make. I know how to make it just like Esau does. Your daddy's going to love it. And he says, well, that's great, Mom. I could bring in the stew, but he's going to know I'm not Esau. He could tell by my voice. And not only that, I'm smooth and Esau is hairy. And apparently Esau was very, very hairy because his mother said, we'll take care of the hairy part. Those animals that you bring in, after we cook them, we'll skin them and we'll take the skin and put it on you. We'll put it on your neck. We'll put it on your arms and you'll look as hairy as Esau. Esau was apparently that hairy. If you're a hairy man, Esau is your patron saint. I mean, this guy was hairy. And so with this, they do all of this. They tie this goat skin and this sheep skin around his arms and neck. And then she says, go get Esau's clothes. Go over to his closet, get his clothes so you can smell like Esau. So he does all of this. And he walks into his father's tent carrying this bowl of stew. And his father asked him a question. This was the question his father asked him. Very interesting question. He says, my son, who are you? Who are you? And I know Jacob immediately thinks the cover's blown, but he's already stepped into the tent, so he might as well try to sell it. He says, I am Esau. This is an important part in the message. Who are you, my son? Father, I am Esau. And he says, come closer. He comes closer and he feels him and he says, you have the arms of Esau, but the voice of Jacob. And Jacob immediately tries to change the narrative here, the story here. Tries to convince him he is Esau. So he says, here, Father, is the stew you asked me to make. Now, Jacob wasn't in the tent when Isaac told Esau this. And so immediately Isaac's thinking, well, maybe this is Esau. He's got the stew. But then he asks him, he says, well, how did you make it so quick? How did you go out and kill the... And this is where Jacob's lie gets even deeper. He says, the Lord your God blessed me. And I mean, I went out there and it was like laying there. And I just took it and killed it. And he looked upon me and you favorably this day. He blessed us, Father. A major stew. And he says, well, okay. He says, come a little closer. And he smells him. And he says, you smell like Esau too. Now there's something within Isaac that knows this may not be him because he's asking him all these questions about, is this really you? But Jacob keeps lying and deceiving his own father. That his own father winds up blessing him. This is very interesting to me. Do you know you can live so deceptive that even the people closest to you don't know who you are anymore? They think you're one way, but really you're another way. And here Jacob is so selling out himself as being Esau that he gets the blessing, and as soon as he gets the blessing, he runs out of the tent, and literally right after he does, Esau comes in with the stew. He says, Father, here's the meal I've prepared for you. His father says, who are you? Who in the world are you? And he said, I am Esau. He says, what? Esau was just in here. I just blessed Esau. And he said, no. I'm Esau. I was out killing the animals. Here's the stew you asked for. He said, no. I just blessed Esau. Who are you? And they finally realize that it was Jacob trying to be Esau. And Jacob gets what he wanted most. But once he got it, he realized he didn't want what he got. Especially not the way he got it. Because this narrative changes on its head. Esau is so furious with Jacob that he tells people, as soon as my father dies, I'm going to kill this boy. I'm not going to do it while daddy's still alive because I don't want to cause him any more grief. But as soon as daddy dies, Jacob is a dead man. And you know what Jacob has to do? For the next 21 years of his life, he runs. 21 years he runs. You know the story. He runs over to Uncle Laban's house. There at Laban's house, he meets a deceiver who's even a greater deceiver than himself. How many of you know you always reap what you sow? And so here, Jacob has spent years manipulating, deceiving people to try to get who he wants to be because he senses in his heart he's supposed to be more than he is. And now he's reaping this harvest of a man who tricks him multiple times, even in the area of marriage. We don't have time to talk about that. It's a whole nother marriage. Jacob had two wives. Somebody said, I like this church. No. So with this, it caused him a lot of grief. But with this, there was just a severe deception takes place. And finally, Jacob says, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't live in Laban's house. I can't live this life anymore. He said, I'm going to go back and see Esau. He says, it may cost me my life, but it would be a better life than the one I have right now. So he starts going home. But before he does, he sends his family ahead of him. And he does that for a very particular reason. But nonetheless, he sends his family ahead of him. And he stays alone by himself on the other side of the brook. And as he's sleeping that night, a man appears to him, wakes him up, and they start wrestling. And Jacob doesn't quite know what's going on in the story. At the end of the story, we find out that he's not just wrestling with a man, he's actually wrestling with God. He's wrestling with this man, and Jacob doesn't know quite who it is, but he does know this is something kind of supernatural. And so he's holding on to this person so tight, and the person sees the day is breaking and he's got to break loose. So he touches the hollow of Jacob's thigh and it goes out of place. At first I thought that was mean, but then I thought about it. Jacob was 76 when he ran from Esau. 21 years later, he's coming back. So at this point, he's 97. God wasn't being rough with him. He was just an old man. You wrestle with a 97-year-old, a joint's going to come out of place. So with this, the hollow of his joint goes out of place. And God tells him, let me go. And this is Jacob's response. I love this. He's wrestling with God. And he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, what's he been trying to get his whole life? The blessing. He tried to get it from his brother Esau by tricking him with the stew. He tried to get it from his father. Now he's finally turning to the one person who can actually give him something that will make him be all that he knows in his heart he should be. And he discerns this. So he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And what did God ask him that day? It's the same question his earthly father asked him. Remember his earthly father when Jacob walked in pretending to be Esau? Remember what his earthly father asked him? He said, who are you? What is your name? He says, I am Esau. And here he's wrestling with God now, and God asks him the same question. Who are you? What's your name? And this time, instead of saying, I am Esau, he says, I am Jacob. And God says, here's how I'm going to bless you. No longer will your name be called Jacob, but your name will be called Israel. For as a prince, you will have power with men and power with God. And Jacob turns to him and he says, what's your name? And the angel never tells him, because God was not there to reveal to Jacob who God was. God was there to reveal to Jacob who Jacob was. Jacob had lived 97 years on this earth and never found out who he was. It's very interesting. I'll close by saying this. I've written many, many messages over the course of 12 years now. I've preached many, many times. And it has been a long, long time since this weekend that I've struggled with wrapping my heart around a message like this one. I don't know why until today, actually. But I felt like something in my heart wasn't quite wrapped around it. And 999 times out of 1,000, this never happens to me. And so I went home last night after preaching, and I said, I get what I'm trying to communicate. That in life, a lot of times we are like Jacob trying to be Esau. That we put on these garments for people to see, and we dress ourselves up for people to see us, and we want to be Esau. We want to be looked at and be seen as someone worthy of paying attention to, worthy of being blessed. And even if it means being someone we're not, even if it means putting on this facade for our church friends, or putting on this facade in life, acting like we're smiling with our selfies and acting like everything's happy, but really on the inside there's all this turmoil and all of this worry about the future and regret about the past. And a lot of not just people out in the world, but a lot of Christians, a lot of ministers live like Jacob trying to be Esau. They want their congregation to see, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm put together, my marriage is great, my family's great, my finances are great. But really when they get home, they're miserable. And they're not happy and there's no joy, and you wouldn't want to go home with them. You wouldn't want to be their kid. Because they're trying to play the part, but they're not really connecting with people or with God. And Jacob lived his whole life, all the way up to 76 years old that way, trying to be someone he really was not. Trying to put on someone that in his heart he knew he wasn't supposed to be. He knew he wasn't supposed to be Jacob either, though. He knew he wasn't supposed to be a deceiver, a manipulator, a trickster. He just wants to be someone else, someone with power, someone with authority, someone with might, someone who's significant in this life. And so he's trying to be that through someone else, but it's not working for him. It's only causing him and everyone else pain. So I knew that side of it. That's one side. And then here you see Jacob, towards the tail end of the story, coming and wrestling with the one person who really can change him. He's wrestling with God. And finally, Jacob has got it right. He's not trying to be Esau anymore. He's not trying to act like everything's great in my life, everything's put together, I smell right, look right, put together right. He's not trying to be that anymore. He's honest with God in this moment. He says, I am Jacob. I am a man who needs you. I'm a man who has been a deceiver. I'm a man who has been a cheater. I've been a man who's hurt other people. I'm a man who's going to go see my brother, and I know my brother wants to kill me because I've hurt my brother so bad, and you know what? I probably deserve to die. And he's real with God, finally. He's finally real with someone. And in this moment of being real with God, God gives him the one thing he always wanted. He changes him over into the man he always wanted to be, but never could be in his own strength. And the reason why it was hard for me to wrap my heart around that is because I can't relate to Jacob trying to be Esau. And I'm thankful for that because I grew up in a wonderful family and I grew up in a church. So I've always had a deep love for God. I always have. Ever since I was a little child, I always had a deep love for God the Father. And don't get me wrong, as a pastor's son, you know, you'll put on different things to try to look right, and everyone's kind of judging their kids by the pastor's kids and all of those things that try to happen. So there's definitely a side of you that wants to be put together. But in my heart of hearts, I always loved him. I always knew I needed him. I was far from perfect. But I always knew I needed the Lord. And I woke up this morning and I'm like, you know, I've got this perfect little Christian life. And I do. There's nothing about my life I would want to change. Nothing. I love the way my career is going. Love the way my family's going. Love the way my marriage is going. I have this amazing life. And I thought, Lord, I don't know how to connect with this. And then I saw it. Finally, I saw it, and I'll close with this. I know this is like my third closing, and I've got like 39, 38, 37 seconds left. So I need to make this fast. It's because I'm more like Jacob, trying to be Israel, than I am like Jacob trying to be Esau. See, Christianity is not about just being Israel, this man who has power with God and power with people. Christianity is about realizing that sometimes you're more like Jacob than you are more like Israel. Sometimes you know you're not quite perfect, and you know things aren't quite right, and you know there's some issues going on here and some issues going on there. But instead of trying to be Jacob like Esau and cover it up and act like, no, I'm fine. No, I'm good. No, God, I've got all my ducks in the row. Look, I've got my selfie. Look at my family portrait. I'm happy. I'm put together. I'm successful. No, just bless me, God. Bless me like I am. And the problem is Esau can never get God's blessing. Jacob trying to be Esau is never going to get the fullness of God's blessing. God can't bless your avatar. He can't bless your selfie. He can only bless the real you. And finally, Jacob comes to himself and says, God, you know who I am. I'm a man who needs you. I'm a man who needs a touch with you. I'm a man who's going to wrestle with you all night long and will not let go until you bless me. And I don't care what other people think, and I don't care what other people may think of me. I am not ashamed, God, to say I am Jacob. I need you. I'm a person who needs you. And in that moment, God says, that's what I've been waiting for all along. And so that's what I'm asking for this morning. I'm asking you to be more like Jacob trying to be Israel, knowing you can only be that with the help of God. And less like Jacob trying to be Esau, trying to act like everything's right, everything's put together, but on the inside you're hurting and you know you need a touch from him. And so today, this is what this weekend's all about, is people saying, you know what, I'm done trying to be like Esau. I want to be like Israel. Every eye closed, let me pray with you. Father, we come before you today. And we thank you, Lord, for your help in making us the people you've called us to be. And I ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you help us all come into an awareness that we need you. That we're done trying to fake it. We're done trying to play church. We're done trying to live a life apart from you. We know and we understand it is only you who can turn us into the people we've been called to be. Only you can take us from Jacob and turn us over into Israel's. So God, we will be real with you. We will acknowledge you. We will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And wasn't that a wonderful message? We want to just ask you for a moment if you would stay seated. Very important part of the service. You know, all of us at one time have to wrestle with God and come to him and give him all that we are. And so today at this time of the service, we want to make sure that each and every one of you know that you're right with God, that you have that relationship with him that stands the test of time, and that you'd go to heaven instead of going to hell. You know, if I were to ask you a question today, if you drew your last breath today, where would you go? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? You know, have you wrestled with God? Have you answered those questions? You know, a lot of people give a lot of different answers. We've got a lot of people in this room. a wonderful, safe environment right now to be honest with yourself and honest with God. You know, a lot of people might say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I've tried to live by the golden rule and do it to others as I'd want them doing to me. But you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say if you do that, you'll go to heaven. You might say, you know, I was raised in a good home and I've gone to church and you know, I'm trying to be the best. But nowhere in the Bible does it say if you're raised in a home like that, you'd go to heaven. Or you might say, you know, I was dedicated as a young child, sprinkled, put a St. Christopher's medal around my neck. I've been to classes and things such as that. But you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say if you do all that, you'll go to heaven. And you might say, well, you know, I think I would. You know, I think there are a lot of different ways to get to heaven. And I think surely somehow I might get there. But you know, the Bible doesn't say that. See, we love you enough today as a church. And we love you and honor and respect you enough to come to you today and ask you to examine those questions. Because there's a loving Father who sent His Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world, to be your Savior. And don't you know that He loves you enough that He would tell you exactly how He wants you to wrestle with Him and come to Him and give Him all of your heart and all of your life? See, Jesus did that. Jesus told a man by the name of Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again. What does it mean to be born again? Born again simply means you've given God all of your heart and all of your life. You've given Him everything that you have. See, when you come to God and you give Him your heart and you give Him your life, He gives you a new heart and He gives you a new life. He takes that old stony heart out, all the hurt, all the sin, and He removes it and He puts a brand new one on the inside of you. He breathes a new life into you. See, being right with God is not about what we think in our heads. It's like Pastor said, it's all about your heart. Have you come and given Him your heart? Have you given Him all of your life? You might say, Pastor Marcus, well, how do I do that? Jesus gives us the answer. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It says there in the book of Acts, there's no other name under heaven given where men might be saved but the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if you'd call on my name, I'd save you. I really like this part. He said, no wise would I ever cast you out. You might have been like a Jacob, a deceiver. You might have been a person. I had a man one time tell me, there's no way God could love me or save me. I'm just too mean. I've done too much wrong. See, God said, I'll never cast you out. If you'll come to me and you'll confess me and give me your heart, give me your life, I'll take all that, remove it like it never existed, and I will give you a brand new heart. See, today, each and every one of us can leave this place knowing who we are and whose we are. If somebody asks you the question, who you are, I'm a child of God. Who are you? I'm the righteousness of God. Who are you? I am the forgiven, and I am God's child. See, it's that very simple. So in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give all of your heart and all of your life to God. I'm going to count 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to clap my hands, and then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. But by raising your hand, you recognize today it's not about what you think, it's about your heart. Have you wrestled with Him? Have you come to Him and let Him change you from the inside out? Have you given Him your whole heart and your whole life? See, when we do it God's way, we get His results. When we do it His way, He changes our life from the inside out, and He changes our name to child of God, son of God, daughter of God. So today in this safe place, today in this safe church where we love you and you're cared for, you have a loving Father. He's reaching out to you today. You have the opportunity to raise your hand and make a decision for Him. So in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you that question. One, two, three, raise your hand. You might say, well, who needs to raise their hand today? If you know you've never been born again, you need to raise your hand. If you know today that you're running from God, you need to raise your hand. If you know today you've never given God your whole heart and your whole life, you need to raise your hand. You might say, I'm really not sure what my destiny is. You need to raise your hand today. Or you might say, Pastor Marcus, at one time I was so near to God, but now I feel so far. Oh, he loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to come home. He wants you to raise your hand. So today, as we examine those questions and you examine your life, you examine your heart. You know, there are many of you in here who are right with God, but there are those who need to make a decision. You might say, Pastor Marcus, I'd be embarrassed to raise my hand. Well, number one, you're not going to be the only one to raise your hand. Last night, we had dozens and dozens of people raise their hand. Over 21 people made decisions for Christ last night in our service. And I want to remind you that Jesus was not embarrassed to get up on the cross for you. In front of all humanity, he was nailed to a cross for you so that someday you could give him all your heart and all of your life and receive a new heart, a new you. See, the Bible says, Jesus said this, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. That kind of gets rid of all the embarrassment, does it? See, today, I'm God's representative, and we're going to confess together, and God's going to take out that old heart and put a brand new one on the inside of you. Oh, praise God. Well, I'm getting ready to go one, two, three. I'm getting ready to clap my hands. I'm here to tell you God loves you today. I'm here to tell you you can be right with God today. Okay, I'm about to do it. I'm about to go one, two, three. There are going to be people all over this room who are going to raise their hands. I'm going to ask you to hold off your applause and cheering until their hands get up. And then we're all together going to celebrate and worship God and thank God. Are you ready? Have you judged yourself? Have you been running from God? Are you not truly born again? You've been in church all your life, but are you truly born again? Here we go. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And when I count to three and I clap my hands, your hand's going to go up. And God the Father is going to recognize that hand. And you're going to get a new heart, a new life, and a new name today. Oh, praise God. Are you ready? Can I get an amen from the crowd? Are you ready today to make a decision for God? Here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six. Keep raising your hand. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Raise your hand for God the Father. Let's give him praise. Let's give him glory for the decisions that are being made today. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Now I'm going to ask you not to move around because this is the most important part. Decisions are being made. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And then I'm going to ask you to help me. We had well over 13, 14 people raise their hands, but we also had people who probably needed to raise their hand and did not. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. First of all, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come down here, and we're going to pray together. And you're going to get your heart right with God. Those of you in your seat, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, do you need to come on down? Bring your purses, bring your Bible. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming from all over this building. Praise God, come on down. Come on down, come on down. We have Pastor Dean, we have ministers. Hallelujah, glory be to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Come on down over here, come on around here. Glory be to God. All of you down here, I want you to turn and face me, and I kind of want y'all to move to this middle. Come on in here. Let's all bunch up. Let's come on in here. Look how many people have come down to give their heart to God. Come on over here. Come on over here. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, all of you. Just bunch on in. Glory be to God. This is a great day. This is a day you decided to wrestle with God and grab hold of Him. But He's going to change everything about your life and your destiny and your future. You know, it's like Pastor said, so many times we try to be this or that. But today you're just being honest. I applaud you. And God the Father is so thankful that you're here. So we're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to call upon the name of the Lord, and we're going to give Him all of our heart and all of our life. But because you do, He's going to take out that old heart. He's going to put a brand new one on the inside of each and every one of you. So what I'm going to ask you to do is this. I'm going to ask everybody in this room to lift one hand up to heaven, because that's where our help comes from. And then we're all going to say this together out loud, and we're going to give Him our whole heart and our whole life. And if you're out there in the congregation and you should have come down here, if you'll say this prayer, God the Father is going to change your heart right now. Let's say this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son sent to die for me. I accept Him now as my Lord and Savior. I give you my heart. I give you my life, all of my sin, all of my hurt, and all of my pain. And I receive that new heart, that new life. I'm forgiven, and I receive a new name. I'm your child. I'm your child. Thank you for loving me, saving me, and changing me right now. And I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to ask you, we have Pastor Dean. Pastor Dean, wave. If you'll turn to your left and look over here, Pastor Dean's holding up a Bible. And he's going to take you to a room just for a few minutes. Your children in the nurseries and Kids Life, they're fine. They know that you'll be there in just a second. But if you'll follow him, and we've got a few other people that are going to be in there, and they're going to spend just a little bit of time. We've got some things we want to give you, but most of all, we want to connect to you, because you made the right decision today to give your whole heart and whole life to him. So go with Pastor Dean. Just follow him right there. If you would, please turn to your left. All of your stuff is fine. Please go with him. Don't turn around and go the other way. Go with them. Go to that room. Let's give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Now I want you to do something for me. We want to stretch out our hands, and we want to pray for each and every person in that room, because decisions have been made. Glory be to God. They've had a name change, a life change. Father God, we thank you right now as they're in that prayer room. Lord, we just thank you for your spirit, that spirit of love, falling down on each and every one who made a decision today for you. Lord God, we thank you for those dear, precious people. And we thank you that their lives will never be the same, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Wasn't that a great message today? Hey, I just got a couple of things I want to talk to you about real quick before we get out of here. First of all,